Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
I can't think of a place I'd rather be than right here behind this very microphone, because I get to share some vital health information with you this hour. We invite you to call us at 888-302-3684 if you care to pose a question. And we've got lots to talk about this hour. And, of course, the big story that is blazoned across the headlines and throughout the media is the emerging Ebola situation. It's a very confusing situation because, well, just a few weeks ago, health officials warned us that we had absolutely nothing to worry about, that this would be contained in Africa, and this is not an American problem. And if it were to come here, well, we have the capacity to absolutely snuff out the potential for a zombie apocalypse. But yet, events are accelerating, and it's creating greater concern that maybe, just maybe, this may spread to stateside and throughout the world. So, here's some of the aspects of it. First of all, this is a heyday for public health officials. They live for moments like this. This is their entire raison d'etre, their reason for being. And we expend literally billions and billions of dollars on preparedness for situations like this, because it could be Ebola one day. It could be some mutation of the flu like SARS another day that changes the flu from a relatively mild disease to a killer disease, as in some of the movies like Outbreak and, you know, all these movies, these Hollywood catastrophe movies that talk about how the world's population could literally be decimated due to a rampaging epidemic. And that's why we have public health. You know, between fires, firemen sit around the firehouse, horsing around, talking, eating, watching TV. They play with their laptops. But when a fire comes, they got to be ready. And so it's all about preparedness. The same thing is holds for public health officials. They are engaged in preparedness. And for this is like a fire drill. This is an opportunity for them to test their mettle, hopefully against a situation which is going to be challenging and will help them up their game, but will ultimately not result in a catastrophe stateside. The whole situation is confusing because we have major public health officials, and we even have the president stating that there's no problem if you were to sit on a bus next to someone with Ebola, which, according to some new pronouncements, is actually wrong, because we don't know that much about Ebola. A couple of things. First of all, it is what it is now, but viruses have a tendency to mutate. They can change. And as they change, their ability to be transmitted may be amped up. And right now it's transmitted through body fluids. So you might say, well, if you don't, French kiss someone with Ebola, if you don't touch a dead body, if you don't get in contact with blood, mucus, or semen, then there's no way that you can get it. But the way that some of these health workers who have been very careful, and they have been ministering to patients with Ebola, and yet they've come down with Ebola. In one case, a nurse in Spain, she made a very small mistake. She was taking off her spacesuit. She was wearing, she was double gloved and wearing the whole, hazmat kind of apparatus. And she made a little mistake. She touched her face inadvertently with her glove before taking off her glove. And now she is real sick, nigh unto death in Spain. So it's unclear how potentially communicable it is. And how many times have you had a conversation with someone up close and personal? It's a little gross, but you notice a little droplet of spittle coming out of their mouth. Maybe it landed on your cheek. This can happen when you're in close proximity with anyone. And so this whole notion that, no big deal, you get in a plane, somebody has Ebola, no problem, because they're not sick yet. Well, many diseases are communicable well before the person is sick or has a fever. We're now taking the temperature of people at airports. How good will that, how much good that will do? How many people will try to elude detection because they want to get into this country? They may take a little bit of Advil to lower their temperature, Tylenol. They can get through the screening. Look, if you've got Ebola and you want to survive, one of the best places to go to is the good old USA or perhaps Western Europe. And there may be a lot of people with that agenda in mind. And then, of course, there's the politicization of Ebola. And it's the, you know, people who are anti-immigrant are getting into the act on this. And people who are against the current administration are criticizing the president's response to Ebola. He seems too cool, calm, and collected. He's offering us reassurances that we're skeptical about. You know, sort of like George Bush's Katrina response. It was too little, too late. And then there's the aspect of should U.S. troops go there? Well, they're already there on scene. And it sounds kind of crazy and paradoxical because we say no troops on the ground in Iraq where ISIS is advancing on cities where massacres may occur and they're gaining ground. And yet we're sending 3,000 troops to Africa to stem the tide of Ebola. So what's up with that? Well, I got to say that at first my reaction was, that's nuts. Why put U.S. troops in harm's way? Why go there? But actually, I've rethought that because obviously tremendous precautions will be undertaken so that these troops are not going to go into hospitals to treat patients. They're basically to set up an airlift and to create an infrastructure which is lacking there to deliver critical supplies. And the major supplies, they're not drugs. The supplies are maybe IV materials, syringes, needles, but lots and lots of supplies like gowns and gloves and goggles and masks and respirators so that health workers who treat patients there can be safe, because all too many health workers, literally scores of them, have died because they haven't had proper protection. And so in addition, these troops are getting expert training in something that may ultimately befall America, and not necessarily from Ebola, but it could be a virus that mutates in the year 2022. And these troops, with the experience of being in Africa, with actual experience in the field, may bring back critical expertise and the ability to cope with an emerging epidemic stateside. It's not inconceivable because viruses are unpredictable. Also, mix in with this the possibility of terrorism or the possibility of idiotic scare tactics some jerk who sneezed on a plane and then said, maybe I've got Ebola. And then next thing you know, they had officials with hazmat suits. Health personnel got on the plane with hazmat suits, escorted the guy out. This can create tremendous fear, terror, and really disrupt the economy of the world because, well, there's even the possibility of terrorism. Remember anthrax? All you needed to do if you wanted to disrupt a business or protest or stop something that you were against is deliver a little packet of talcum powder in the mail to someone and label it anthrax. And there would be a complete meltdown. There would be people in hazmat suits arriving to analyze the sample. And just imagine a scenario where someone sends a vial of blood through the mail labeled Ebola. They could clear out the Pentagon. They could clear out Congress, the White House. It's happened before. And what about our borders, which are porous? How possible might it be for a terrorist network to infiltrate a sick Ebola patient across the Mexican border? I mean, after all, these people are fanatical. They are willing to blow themselves up. So is it conceivable that someone from Africa, you know, they've got Islamic terrorists in Nigeria, a country that's affected with Ebola. What about the possibility of getting one of those guys on a plane or crossing the Mexican border infected with Ebola, creating major havoc through exposure to as many people as they can come in contact with? These are things that we're going to have to contemplate, unfortunately, in the next few weeks. I just wrote an article about natural immunity. Actually, the article's written. It's going to appear next week in our newsletter, and it'll appear at drhoffman.com. But I did a clinical-focused podcast on the subject of natural immunity, and this is not meant to suggest that you can avert Ebola by taking a vitamin or a supplement or getting better sleep. But immunity is a big issue in this current time with diseases raging, not just Ebola, but also enterovirus D68, which is affecting children. And we want to bolster our immunity in the face of diseases for which there is no current magic bullet. All right, 888-302-3684. We'll take your phone calls. We've got lots more to talk about this hour on Intelligent Medicine. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Why Kyolic? Well, all the numbers add up for your health. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is the number one best-selling odorless garlic supplement for heart health available on the market today. For over 40 years, Kyolic has been the leading garlic supplement in America. Kyolic is 50 times richer than raw garlic in active beneficial compounds. Kyolic is organically grown and aged for 20 months to enhance its nutritional value, creating beneficial compounds not found in fresh or powdered garlic, but only in aged garlic extract from our farms in California. For maximum purity. Over 750 scientific studies at major universities such as Brown, Cornell, and UCLA prove that Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is working to enhance your body's immune function, protect your cells from free radical damage, and reduce the widest range of cardiovascular risk factors. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere. Call today at 1-800-421-2998 for your free sample of Kyolic.
Why do I use Clear Sinus Care? Because I like to breathe.
Because I hate having a dry nose.
There are a lot of reasons to use Clear Sinus Care, the nasal rinse and sinus spray with xylitol. But the best reason is because it works.
I use Clear because my doctor told me to.
Because it's all natural.
Clear, spelled X-L-E-A-R, moisturizes and soothes those dry and irritated sinuses. Clear Sinus Care not only helps with dry air problems, it also helps wash away pollens, pollutants, and other airborne contaminants, making your sinus passageways all clear.
Because my snoring was keeping my wife awake.
Because now I'm not all stuffed up.
And because it's all natural, Clear is 100% safe for children. The perfect way to keep your whole family healthy and breathing right. Prevent the misery and stop the suffering with Clear. That's X-L-E-A-R at clear.com and fine retailers.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
DrHoffman.com, your portal for cutting-edge information on health and nutrition.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. My audio engineer, Al Peterson, just turned me on to a new microbrew beer. I mean, I'm not drinking it. He just told me about it. It's called Voodoo Donut Bacon Maple Ale. And it's a specially brewed beer from a company called Rogue Beer. They have very, very unique beers. Bacon Maple Porter. It has the aroma of sweet maple balanced by the spicy flavor of smoked bacon. And among their other beer offerings, they've got, here's one that's got chocolate in it. Voodoo Donut Pretzel Raspberry and Chocolate Ale. Or I love peanut butter, but I don't know if I would like this. Voodoo Donut Chocolate Peanut Butter and Banana Ale. Okay. Al asks, is it healthy? And, I just wonder what kind of hangover you wake up with. You'll be hungover and you'll have bacon on your breath. All right. Any chiropractors out there? Well, this one is for you. Because chiropractic has really been assailed by the mainstream medical profession. I got to apologize for the MD profession because almost from the inception of chiropractic, medical doctors sought to brand chiropractors as quacks. And in fact, there was a successful lawsuit undertaken by a Dr. Wilk. He's a chiropractor who spent literally years fighting the American Medical Association for restraint of trade because what they're saying is that the medical doctors were trying to use their authority to claim that a competing guild of healers, the chiropractors, were quacks. And ultimately, Wilk won. And here's some additional modern vindication for Dr. Wilk. Headline, chiropractic care may ease back-related leg pain. And I can attest to that because from time to time I get back pain. How common is back pain? About 4 out of 5 people will develop low back pain during their lifetime. So it's virtually ubiquitous. Up to 40% of them will develop back-related leg pain, also known as sciatica, because when you get compression on the nerve that runs down your leg, you're going to have pain, numbness, or weakness of the legs, usually on one side more than another. So what they did is this trial was reported on in the Annals of Internal Medicine, which is a pretty good medical journal, often frankly antagonistic to complementary and alternative medicine. They've done a lot of anti-vitamin studies lately. But they, in this study, they vindicate chiropractic. People with leg pain related to back problems had more short-term relief if they received chiropractic care along with exercise and advice rather than exercise and advice alone. They looked at spinal manipulation, and this resulted in advantages in pain reduction, disability, global improvement, satisfaction, medication use, and general physical health status after 12 weeks. And even 9 months after the treatment ended, patients who received chiropractic therapy were still doing better than the other group. So, half the patients received instructions for specific exercises to do at home, plus simple pain management techniques. In other words, don't just lie around, get up, walk around, stretch a little bit. That also helps you get out of trouble. And actually, the home exercise alone seemed to work to some extent. So don't underestimate the importance of home exercise. Almost half of the patients who did home exercise experienced a 50% reduction in leg pain in short-term and long-term. And so this study suggests that chiropractic can indeed be beneficial. All right, there's something called a field of psychoneuroimmunology. It's a field of medicine which relates to the effects of the mind on the immune system. Here's a study that supports that notion. Stress fuels breast cancer metastasis to bone. You know, often they're skeptical of this. In this study, they found that the spread of cancer to distant organs, including bone, was more likely to occur when patients were under stressful circumstances. So, if you are subject to cancer, cancer itself is stressful. Use techniques of visualization, positive thinking, relaxation, meditation to help the prognosis of your condition. It's not just going to keep you feeling better. It may have an impact on the outcome of your disease. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Why do I use the Spry Dental Defense System? Because it tastes great.
Because fillings are ugly.
There are a lot of reasons to use the Spry Dental Defense System. A complete line of oral care products such as toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, and more, made with 100% xylitol. But the best reason is because it works. And because it's all natural, Spry is 100% safe for kids. There are even Spry products developed especially for your children and toddlers.
Because my dental hygienist told me to.
Because it's all natural.
So ask for Spry by name whenever you buy toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, or anything else for your mouth. And make sure you're receiving all the benefits of 100% xylitol products.
Because I want a great smile, duh. Why do I use Spry? Because it works?
The Spry Dental Defense System. Great taste, less fillings. For information or to purchase Spry, visit SpryDental.com.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
Hi, I'm Susie Cohen, author of The 24-Hour Pharmacist and Drug Muggers. I understand the value of medication, but in the process of helping, they can rob the body of many essential nutrients. I call them drug muggers because they spark side effects that are often diagnosed as a new disease. Every medication, whether over-the-counter or prescription, robs the body of beneficial bacteria. That's why I recommend probiotics for anyone taking medication and for good health in general. Bacterial balance is vital for healthy digestion, improved immunity, in tip-top health. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics nurtures the garden of bacteria that is distinctive to your body. Backed by 25 years of research, Dr. O'Hara's exclusive formula uses living bacteria combined in a Japanese fermentation process that sets Dr. O'Hara's probiotics apart from all other brands.
Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
For more intelligent medicine, download our free podcast at drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you this weekend, and lots more stuff coming your way on the health front. This is a simple home test that you can do to find out if you'll make it to the year 2020. We're about 5 years away from the next decade. And so you might imagine, what are some of the ways you can determine if you're at risk? Well, check your cholesterol, check your blood pressure, check your blood sugar. Yeah, these are some of the ways. But also, you might say, if you have a diagnosis of cancer, what are your chances of making it to 2020? Or perhaps you have heart failure, you've had a heart attack. That would certainly have an impact on your likelihood of making it to 2020. And then there are simple tests like how far can you walk? That's a pretty accurate test in terms of your physical capacity, which relates to your ability to survive. Also, a simple test that you can do is how quickly can you get up out of a chair without pushing up with your arms? Just stand up unassisted without your using your arms on the armrests. That's a simple test because people can't do that. They're physically debilitated and they are less likely to survive. But ultimately, the single best test, it's kind of weird. You can do it at home. People who can no longer smell the following: peppermint, fish, rose, or leather may only have 5 years left to live. Those who lose smell are six times as likely as others to die within the next 5 years. Six times. A poor sense of smell raises the odds of death more than most established medical conditions, including a diagnosis of cancer. Well, of course, it depends on what kind of cancer, a very serious or dangerous cancer might offer you a worse prognosis than loss of smell. But what they say is the only medical condition that is more strongly linked to dying within 5 years than loss of smell is severe liver damage. If you have advanced cirrhosis of the liver, then your chances of surviving are slim long term, unless that is you get a liver transplant. So what's up with this? Well, first of all, researchers urge people not to panic because there are some instances where people lose their sense of smell and it is not related to risk of dying. And this can occur in people who have a severe viral infection that wipes out their olfactory nerves in their nasal passages. Sometimes even the effects of drugs, certain antibiotics can have a damaging effect on the olfactory nerves in some susceptible people. So, if you lost your sense of smell, and many people have, that they often have this temporarily as an aftermath of, say, a bout of sinusitis. And so that doesn't mean you're going to be checking out. But there is a strong association between loss of smell and neurological diseases like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's disease. That has been established, because the nerves in your nose are part of a very primitive region of your brain. It's the reptilian brain. Like a lot of animals, they can't really think, but they sure can smell. So this is a very primitive region of the brain that evolved hundreds of millions of years ago. And if that goes, then it is very likely that other parts of your brain nervous system will be involved. So researchers they looked at 3,000 men and women aged between 57 and 85. They were put through a 3-minute smell test. They were asked to sniff the scent given off by little gadgets that contain the following fragrances: peppermint, fish, orange, rose, and leather. Most of the men and women got at least four of the five right, meaning they had a normal sense of smell. But about 3.5% got one or none right. And 5 years later, 430 of the men and women had died, and those who had failed the smell test were almost six times as likely to have died as those with a healthy sense of smell. So this, you know, clearly is a risk factor. It's not a one-to-one correspondence, but yeah, it's an intriguing test. You can take it home. All right. This is an item that it kind of speaks to the condition of physician burnout, I think. Headline: if you want an antibiotic, see your doctor later in the day. All right? Doctors these days are taught to wrangle with patients about whether or not they should take an antibiotic. Believe it or not, doctors, they are quick to dispense antibiotics, but more and more doctors are exhorted, have the conversation with the patient. Don't too readily give a patient an antibiotic. If a patient has like a mere, you know, upper respiratory infection or mild chest infection, mild bronchitis, even ear infections in kids, and now sinusitis. All of a sudden, sinusitis, which used to always be treated with antibiotics, they now say it's a self-limited infection. Unless it's very serious, don't pull the trigger on antibiotics. So what they found was that doctors get worn down over the course of the day. And so if you want an antibiotic in the morning, you're going to get an argument. But if you show up later in the day, your doctor is likely to be worn out, tired, and their resistance has has faded away. And they're going to say, what the heck, you know, whatever you want. I'll give you an antibiotic. Just please get out of my office because I have 10 more patients to see today. So that if your goal is to get an antibiotic, which I hope it's not, see the doctor towards the end of the day. He'll just say, I want to get out. I want to go home. I want to do my paperwork. I'll give you whatever you want. All right. Just what the world needs. Headline: lab-grown penis in final steps of testing. Now, this sounds like science fiction, but we actually have grown human noses, ears, and different body parts. And this is the new science where literally you can use 3D printers. That's going to be the new technology. You just will take certain cells and grow them on a template, and you will have a replacement ear, nose, and now a human penis. Now, why would you want to do that? Well, first of all, they haven't done this with people yet, but they've done it with rabbits. They say the rabbit studies were very encouraging, but to get approval for humans, we need all the safety and quality assurance data. We need to show that the materials aren't toxic, and, you know, we have to spell out the step-by-step manufacturing process. But why should, you know, why is this a boon to mankind? Well, number one, some people are born, some children are born with genital abnormalities. And so this is an adjunct to corrective surgery, which can normalize the appearance of genitals. And you know, and that's all to the good. And then increasingly there are people who have accidents or in grievous wounds on the battlefield, they may lose a certain part of their body. And this is pretty important to the male psyche. It can lead to grievous psychological complications throughout a man's life. So therefore, this is an advance. The question is this going to be merely a cosmetic appendage, or will it be an actual working version of the real thing? And I think it's going to be the former in the short term, because this is an organ whose function is very, very intricate, and it is unlikely that you can get something that's like the original equipment. All right, 888-302-3684 as we continue. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine. You rely on me to tell you about the latest, most effective products, and I've got one for you today. It's an organic bug spray, and it's a must-have for your home. Cedarside's original biting insect spray, formerly Cedarside Best Yet, from Cedarside.com. Cedarside Original is 100% USDA bio-preferred organic pest control, made from all-natural cedar oil, and both kills and repels bugs. It's a contact killer, yet not at all harmful to people, pets, or the environment. Cedarside.com offers a whole suite of organic pest control products to kill and eradicate bed bugs, mosquitoes, fleas, ticks, and mites. Cedarside.com products may be used in and around the home, and you could even create a pest barrier through your sprinkler system. Cedarside.com. When you check out, don't forget to type in Hoffman to get free shipping, or call 800-842-1464, 800-842-1464, and mention my name, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, for free shipping. That's Cedarside.com, 800-842-1464, the only pest control you'll ever need, and it's organic. Cedarside.com, 800-842-1464.
A regular dose of intelligent medicine injected directly into your inbox. Subscribe to Dr. Hoffman's free newsletter. Just go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Before this program, I managed to get up and do some chores, and then it was rainy out, so I didn't take my customary run that I take before doing the radio program on weekends. I head to the pool, and I dusted off about 50 or 60 laps in the pool. And I find this very, very balancing. It's a real good stress buster, and it gets my head on straight. I'm able to focus and concentrate better. And here are a couple of studies that show how exercise doesn't just help the body, it helps the brain. Headline, study shows how exercise protects the brain against depression. And here's how that happens. At first, it was thought, and it is probably true to some extent, that exercise boosts levels of critical endorphins. Endorphins are feel-good hormones. That's why people get the runner's high. And sometimes people are literally addicted to exercise because endogenous morphines have an addictive quality. It's like you're making your own opium, but in a good way. And it's a good addiction. This new study suggests that conditioned muscles make it easier for the body to purge a harmful protein associated with depression. So that exercise, in a way, it flushes away some sort of humoral substance that makes you depressed. If you exercise more, you acquire the ability to detoxify something that accumulates during stress and that will be harmful for you. And they go through a very lengthy technical explanation of how that happens, and I won't burden you with that explanation. But the bottom line is that doctors can use the findings to help their patients understand why physical activity can help ward off depression. And in fact, in New York, we have a genre of psychologists who will charge you $200 an hour to jog with you in Central Park and listen to your problems. Because I guess they like to jog and they feel it's therapeutic. And so, you know, they kind of kill two birds with one stone. All right. This one is about kids. And it's very interesting because, you know, you sometimes talk about kids who are eggheads and kids who are jocks. And the jocks are supposed to be a bunch of dummies, right? And the eggheads, they spend all the time studying. They're studious, so they're smarter. All right. This headline, kids who exercise don't sweat tests. Physically active children are healthier and score better on intellectual tests than their sedentary peers. This study appeared in the journal Pediatrics. It looked at 200 7, 8, and 9-year-olds. And what they found was that the exercisers performed better on intellectual tests, and there was a dosage effect. In other words, the more you exercised, the more the children exercised, the better they did on tests. Kids who spent more time in the exercise program performed even better than kids who were enrolled but had spotty attendance. So, it didn't tell you particularly what exercise was best or whether the exercise promoted social interaction and that improved cognitive tasks. But clearly, you know, the exercise was better than just simply hanging out with other kids and not doing anything because the other group got to do that. They just didn't exercise. So that's a pretty cool study. So, you know, encourage your kids to be physically active. All too often, you know, kids, you know, they're engaged in virtual activities with the computer, with the laptop, with the mobile device, and they're just not moving around. All right. This item comes to us from a good colleague of mine. She's at the University of Arizona State University down in Phoenix. Carol Johnston, who is a PhD in nutrition. And she did a study of the old controversy, does vitamin C help the common cold? Because this has gone back and forth. Some studies say yay, some studies say nay. So this new study, she looked at men who actually had kind of a marginal intake of vitamin C. They weren't supplementing. And they were given vitamin C, 1,000 milligrams a day. That's not much. And what they found was that the duration of their colds was reduced. In addition, the fatigue they experienced during their colds was reduced. How much was the incidence of colds reduced? 45%. So 45% less colds, a reduction in the duration of colds from 11 days to 7 days, and also there was less fatigue associated with the colds, according to a self-reported survey. So that's pretty cool. So think vitamin C for A, cold prevention, and B, cold treatment. And you don't have to take a ton of it. I think that, you know, if you have a cold, you know, taking, you know, 10, 15 grams of vitamin C is too much. You get away with, you know, 2-3 grams of vitamin C at most, because you can't absorb that much at one time. Intravenous vitamin C, that's another story. Patients with serious viral problems, patients with mononucleosis, with chronic hepatitis, patients with Epstein-Barr virus and other viral disorders, they can really benefit from very high dose intravenous vitamin C. But you really can't achieve those levels by in taking it by mouth. All right, here's another one on immunity, since immunity is a big theme this week, what with Ebola. And I did a clinical focus podcast on the subject, which you can download at drhoffman.com. Please subscribe to our podcast via iTunes, because there's lots of useful information there. This one's about AHCC, active hectose correlated compound. And I did a little research for my podcast on AHCC, and it has all kinds of benefits for cancer, for the flu. And here's an article about its benefits in human papillomavirus, HPV, which causes venereal warts, but worse, can lead to cervical cancer. Now, there's a big push to vaccinate our young girls and young boys now with the Gardasil vaccine against HPV. And that's controversial because, you know, are there side effects? Is it a good policy? Will it encourage earlier sexual experimentation? I mean, that's a whole ball of wax there. But according to the researchers, they were at, I believe, at the University of Oregon. The treating cervical cancer cells with AHCC led to a complete eradication of HPV, as well as a decrease in the rate of tumor growth. And so, again, the study was done on tumor cells. It wasn't done in actual people who are suffering from cervical cancer, but it suggests a powerful effect of AHCC on the HPV virus and also on the precancerous lesions that can lead to cervical cancer. So I'm going to add it to my protocol for women who come with abnormal pap smears or who've been diagnosed with high-grade dysplasia and have human papillomavirus infections. It's a great bulwark against cancer, and it's used often in Japan as a treatment for patients receiving chemotherapy or radiation. All patients get, you know, modern cancer treatment in Japan, but they also get AHCC. It's the product's name in the United States is Empower. You can find our products that we talk about at drhoffman.com. All right, this final study is a link between breast implants and cancer is now under investigation. You know, it's thought, oh, no problem, breast implants are fine. Well, worldwide, there have been 71 documented cases of patients with an unusual type of cancer. It's not breast cancer. It's something called anaplastic large cell lymphoma. It's a rare type of lymphoma, but it has been associated to a high degree with breast implants. So that is a concern. They said breast implants are generally safe. They also have done studies looking at the relationship between breast implants and autoimmune diseases, particularly diseases like lupus, scleroderma. These are diseases that may be caused by the presence of harmful endocrine disruptors in the plastic coating of the breast implants, and they are thought to be their incidence has been thought to be increased by implants. And you know, industry studies have shown, no, that's not a problem. But here now, the specter of cancer is rearing its ugly head in relation to breast cancer. And now more and more women are not just getting breast implants for cosmetic purposes, they're getting breast implants after mastectomy. It's almost routine now. Do mastectomy, get a breast implant. Could there be a problem? Well, we need to investigate further. All right. Thanks for joining us for this hour of Intelligent Medicine. Lots more coming up. A reminder, check out our website at drhoffman.com for lots of content, podcasts, and blogs, and information about the supplements we talk about here. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We'll be right back.